Guys, welcome to church. Good morning. My name is Pastor Mike. For those of you that don't know, I want to thank you for joining us, for being part of our service today. And here's what I need you to know. It's no mistake that you're here. Okay? It's no mistake that you're here. Even if you were dragged here against your will, if you were promised lunch and you came, good news is you're going to get lunch today and a show. Okay? Here's what you need to know. God intended for you to be here today. God ordained it for you to be here today. And so we are in our second week of our new series, Armor Bearer. And we're going to go we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to spend the next several weeks going through looking at the armor that we as Christians are required to put on so that we can successfully fight the spiritual battles that we face every day. Can anyone testify to facing spiritual battles, right? How important it is to have this armor on. So today we are on the second piece of armor that Paul talks about, and that is the breastplate of righteousness. So I have titled today's sermon, Keep Your Heart. And we'll see how that plays out as we move forward. But if you have your Bible this morning, I hope you do, or somebody next to you has a Bible that they'll let you look on with. I'd like to invite you this morning to open them to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And while you're turning there this morning, I want to share this quote from Joseph Stowell in his book, Fan the Flame. And it says this, heart. The word heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is part of being, it is the part of our being where we desire, we deliberate, and we decide. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, including his feelings, desires, passions, thoughts, understanding, and will. And the center of a person, the place to which God turns. So can we agree today that the heart is of the utmost of importance? Let's get to our scripture here this morning. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word this morning and we hear it, Lord, I pray that it would open our hearts to you, our eyes to you, and our desire would turn to you. Lord, that through today we would understand the importance of this armor, what it does for us, what you do for us, and that the choices we make can impact how good that armor is, how well put together it is. So, Father, this morning we ask that you would guide us, that the words from my mouth would be from you. Lord, that they would be words that would impact us today and even generations to come. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, first and foremost, if you don't know this, for those who like a little bit of history, you can write this down. You can go study it here later this week. This is a quote. Paul is quoting Scripture, and where this is first seen, this concept of armor, this concept of the breastplate of righteousness, comes from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 15 through 17. And if you read this, you'll understand this to be a foreshadow of Christ's return and his spiritual reign on earth. And so you can go check that out and read that and decipher for yourself. But here's what the breastplate is. Does everyone understand what a breastplate is? So it's that piece of armor that goes up on your chest, right? Do we know what the breastplate did? It covers the heart. It protects, right? It protects some of the most vital body organs. I'm sorry, if you're a hunter, where do you shoot? Right. I saw about 60 deer on the bus between Thursday and Friday, but when I go out hunting, I don't see a single one. That's a side note. But the breastplate, I could have hit them with the bus. I would have had several. It would have been like bowling, but not safe. But anyways, the breastplate protected some of the most vital organs. So when we look at the Roman soldiers, if we look at the time when Paul wrote this, who is Paul talking about? Who are we looking at? How do we make this applicable for us today? Because do we walk around with armor today? Does anybody have a breastplate that they brought with them to church today? I almost went down to the costume room to grab one because I think there's one down there. But it protects. So while they wore the armor, while they had that on, it protected their heart, their lungs, and all the other vital organs that are located beneath the breastplate. A soldier there was therefore exposed to attacks, right? When they went to war, they were under attack. If they got hit in the chest or the stomach, they could die instantly. Do we understand that? If they were not wearing their armor. But if they had on their armor, it gave them protection. So to try to make it somewhat understandable for us today, to bring it in today's world, it's going to be the equivalent to a bulletproof vest. Why do cops wear bulletproof vests? To protect the vital organs. Okay? So commonly, and this is just a little fun fact for you, commonly breastplates were made from bronze and leather. But Paul, he doesn't tell us to put on a breastplate of leather and bronze, does he? What kind of breastplate does he call us to put on? The righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. I don't have a physical breastplate that says righteousness across it. How do I put it on if I don't know what it is, right? Let me define that for you here today. To understand what the breastplate of righteousness is, we first have to define what the word righteousness means. In human terms, righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally true or justifiable. The justification is based on the behavior's compliance with the regulation, or in our case, the Constitution of the United States. We're justified by the law, right? In a broader spiritual sense, righteousness is the quality. You can write this down if you want. Righteousness is the quality of being right in whose eyes? God's eyes. Which includes our character or our nature, our conscience, which is also our attitude, our conduct, which is our action, and our command, which is the words that come out of our mouth. So the breastplate of righteousness comes from our godly character. It comes from a right relationship with God, which therefore protects our hearts and allows us to effectively fight. Do you know the whole point of war is not necessarily to kill somebody, but it's to mortally or significantly wound them? Why? Huh? So they can't fight. But if you have somebody who's wounded, you have to tie somebody else up to take care of them. So I can have two soldiers off the battlefield if I can wound one. If I were to kill one, I don't have to take anybody off the field. And I know that sounds gruesome, but understand what Satan's goal is with us as Christians. Does he want to wound us or does he want to kill us? So if we don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, if we don't choose to clothe ourselves, we're opening ourselves up to be mortally wounded on the battlefield. When we choose to put on the breastplate of righteousness, we begin to develop a purity of heart that translates into actions. Wearing the breastplate creates a lifestyle where we put into practice what we believe in our hearts. Whose word is this? God's. We can trust it, right? Everything we do in our life should be gauged against this very word here. If we believe this word to be God's word, we do everything that God's word tells us, it turns in, it shows up here. It's in our heart. Then it relays into actions. Are you who you were before you were a Christian, if you're sitting here today as a Christian? Are you the same person? I would be embarrassed if you guys knew who I was before being a Christian. I was the furthest thing away from it. My mouth was the dirtiest mouth. I could make a sailor blush in more ways than one. Listen, it's God's word that transformed your heart. Okay? We have to consume this for it to turn purity in our hearts so our actions will show. So if the breastplate protects our heart, I might have already covered this and that's all right, but if the breastplate protects our heart, what is it protecting us from? Simply put, it's protecting us from ourselves and from Satan. Why is it protecting us from ourselves? Well, let me answer that for you. Each day we have to decide. Every moment of every day, and our Sunday school lesson kind of hit on this, which is just God ordains this, I don't. We have to decide if we're willing to live according to the ways of the world or if we will live according to God's word. If we'll live according to the way that Christ did. Because in our human nature, everyone here has human nature, so I'm talking to everybody here today. In our human nature is a sinful nature. It is a desire to sin. Therefore, we have to protect ourselves and put on the breastplate of righteousness. What do you think will happen if you aren't intentional about living a righteous life? We just kind of talked about this. Things that you watch, who knows, TV is dirtier today than it ever has been. We're pushing agendas that kids don't have any business being involved with. We have conversations happening that we would have never dreamt having years ago. The things that we watch, the conversations that you take part in, the social media posts that you interact with, what we see on TV, the power of the internet at our thumbs, and we can do whatever we want on our phones with no oversight from anybody. The thoughts that you have, the desires that we entertain, if we don't keep these in check, they inevitably will take us down a path to where we sin. By taking part of this, by watching some of these nasty shows that are on TV, or following these social influencers who have an agenda, we start to normalize and desensitize us to the power of what the world is trying to do, which is to rip us out of God's hand and crucify us to sin. I'm losing my voice, I'm sorry. All of a sudden, what happens is this turns into something where sin becomes not hard to do anymore because I've done it so many times. I've ignored the Holy Spirit so many times and I said, you just be quiet. I'm more interested in entertaining this idea right now. When we do that, we're taking off the breastplate of righteousness. We're opening up our whole front to all the attacks that Satan has. Church, I'm here to tell you, put on the breastplate of righteousness. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says this, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Your words will tell people what's in your heart. That's heavy. Think about that for a minute. Our complaints, our derogatory comments, our cursing, our bad-mouthing, our gossip. You want to show people what's in your heart? Just start talking. That's powerful. That's heavy. So what we put in, what we consume comes out, and bless your heart, thank you so much. That's good water, thank you. So, if you struggle with gossip, if you struggle with addictions, if you struggle with cursing, if you struggle with lying, if you struggle with stealing, if you struggle with this, that, the other, etc., 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 if you struggle with it and you know that it's wrong, here's the challenge today. It's going to be hard to hear. It's because you haven't kept your heart in those areas. Or you're following a worldly influence. You're allowing Satan to influence your life, your mind, and your heart. Because if we go back to Luke 6:45, what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 through 26. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about what you're doing, then all your ways will be sure." To sum it up, every action, every decision, every thought must be weighed and must be based in God's Word, the truth. That is what develops the breastplate of righteousness. It's not a physical thing we put on. It's a spiritual thing we put on. Entertain me, if you will. This may not be a very well put together illustration, but when I wrote it, it made sense. So follow with me here. Imagine you're driving a car. You need gas. You pull up to the gas station. All the gas pumps are shut down. All they have is diesel. You see where I'm going? Question is, do you put that in your car? No. You look at me and like, who is this guy, right? But what happens if you do? Well, I did some research. Gas is bad for a diesel. Diesel isn't necessarily terrible for gas. However, diesel is thicker than gas, and it will plug up your fuel filter and your injectors pretty quickly if you're running pure diesel. So what happens if you do? The car starts to run poorly, depending on how long you drive with the diesel in your tank. But let me follow up with a second question here. But what if there's another gas station just down the road within 10 miles? Then, so you just needed a little splash of fuel. So then do you put some diesel in the car just so you can make it 10 miles? Let me tell you that, Ken, I hear you saying no, but brother, some would take that chance. I sold cars for 15 years. PJ, I don't know if you've seen it yet. I've seen customers put diesel in gas cars. Some would take that chance, and they may be fortunate to arrive to that next gas station with very few issues, or they might not make it, and they might have a huge mess on their hands. You starting to see where I'm going with this? What if you made it a practice to put diesel in your car every time you got low just to make it to your favorite gas station? That gas station is 10 miles down the road. They always have my gas. They always have my coffee hot, my free popcorn. I just got to make it to that gas station. If you continually do that, at some point, you're going to have major system malfunctions. You're going to have issues. Why? Because you're not taking care of the car. You're not using the correct fluids that were designed for your car. The same is with our life, church. In fact, this is how some of us, some of you, are treating sin in your lives at this moment. Replace that whole thing. Replace diesel with sin. You have to make a choice every single day. Do I live according to God's word, or do I do what I want to do? Do I do what feels good, even if it means I have to sin along the way? Let me just give you a warning. If you're dabbling in sin, if you're putting a little bit of diesel in your tank, if you're just putting a little, we're just introducing a little bit of sin, a little bit of unrighteousness. Oh, I think it's okay to watch this. I think it's okay to say this. Listen, dabbling in sin will eventually cause us major system failures. That means separation from God. Let me just tell you, that's the scariest place to find yourself. To be righteous is to be right in God's eyes in every aspect of our life, our emotions, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. These all weigh on righteousness. Psalms 106, verse 3, it says this, "Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times." There's a promise. You want to be blessed? Be righteous. I didn't make it up. It says it right here. Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Does that mean when nobody's looking? Satan desires to cause us to fall in sin. It's the best thing for him, for us to fall into sin. Why? Because if he can incapacitate us, if he can take us off the battlefield, we're no longer a threat. Okay? So this is why we need the breastplate of righteousness. This is why Paul says to put it on. So now we know why we need it. Let's talk about how we put it on. Because it doesn't just happen, right? It causes intentionality. Here's the first thing you can do. It starts by being knowledgeable of God's Word. God's Word allows us to understand how we live a righteous life. When trials and temptations come, because they will, you will face trials and tribulation and all kinds of temptations and is this really that bad? And listen, they will. We have to base our decisions on God's Word. And if you were here last week, and several of you were, but I asked you to stand to your feet if you intended every day to put on the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is our allegiance to God's Word. If we are to put it on, that means we have to open it and we have to do what? We have to read it. It's not an osmosis type of thing. We don't absorb it while we sleep. This is how we become knowledgeable, by opening up this book. You want all truth and all wisdom? In addition, how else can we use it? It's through prayer. We ask God. We say, God, empower us. You know that this thing right here, this is a struggle in my life. I can't do it on my own. And this is where, when I pray and I say we lay it at the altar, it's us saying, I realize I can't do this. I've tried this on my own, and I'm failing. So, Lord, this is me saying, I give it to you. Will you take care of this? We ask him to take it and to empower us and to help us resist sin, to resist temptation, to run when that temptation shows up. This is what it is to live righteousness according to God. 1 John 3:22, it says, "And we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey and do the things that please him." Ask. If we intend to be righteous, we're trying to be righteous, we need help to be righteous, he will help us to maintain our righteousness. Lastly, how else do we use? It's already been stated, or at least inferred upon, it's to choose. Do you have free will? Did anybody choose your outfit for you this morning? You put it on? My son wears two different color socks because he doesn't want to fold socks, and I'm not folding them for him. Free will. He gets to choose that, right? Choose. Use your free will and decide to follow after God's righteousness, not your desires. After we put it on, it's time to use the breastplate of righteousness. So here's how we use it. When we face temptation, we have to turn to God. In James 4, it tells us he calls us to submit ourselves to God. If we resist to the devil, Satan, he will flee from us. Whenever we encounter temptation, we need to turn to God. Okay? Second, it protects us from the schemes of Satan. Satan is the wellspring of sin and death. And if we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we avoid the blows that lead to our death. When temptation comes knocking, when we want to entertain this, or we want to gossip about this, or we want to do this or that behind our spouse's back, or we lie and cheat on our math test at school, or I don't care what it is. If we choose that over righteousness, we have opened ourselves up to more schemes from Satan. You want to be attacked? Put yourself in a position to be attacked. You're still going to be attacked, even though you're wearing but it's going to be much more successful for you to put on the armor of God. We can get the worship team to come on up. The third and final, how do we use the breastplate of righteousness? It's to avoid traps. Let's qualify that. Each of us knows what triggers sins in our life. What triggers us to steal? What triggers us to curse? What triggers us to gossip about what Sally did last night at the restaurant when they brought her the wrong burger? Or I'm being ridiculous, but come on. We know what triggers our desire to sin in our life. Go put yourself in that situation. Right? If you know, avoid it. It might be a certain place. It might be a certain group of people. I can tell you I don't hang out with the same people I did before I was a Christian. It might be a certain activity. No matter what the case is, we have to avoid, we need to avoid anything that entices us to sin, because it is a trap that Satan has set for you and he wants to catch you. So church, sometimes that might make you the odd man out. It might make you a killjoy. It might make you a loser. I'm all about the biggest loser in here, because I'm the biggest winner, because I have Jesus. But we have our spiritual walk at stake. If one thing sticks out today, if one thing from this sermon reaches your ears and challenges you, let it be this. It's better to avoid something that can pull us away from God than to compromise our spiritual safety. Let me repeat that. It's better to avoid something that can pull us away from God than to compromise our spiritual safety. You think of a wall outside of the city. They had to use siege works to throw stuff at that wall and to break it. Think of a dam. If there's a small hole in that dam, what eventually happens? What do they call it when there's a small hole that shows up? It's been compromised. All of a sudden, that whole thing is down and it's wide open. Destruction ensues. If we compromise our spiritual safety, we have opened ourselves up for Satan to come in and attack us and pull us down and yank us and pull us and distract us and get us out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. He can't do it, but you can choose to do it. He would rather us incapacitated than to be warriors for Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, it gives us protection for our heart. It gives us protection for our entire being. And it gives us protection from being corrupted and destroyed by sin. So church, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Each one of us, when we step outside of these walls, we have a battlefield. We are stepping into spiritual battlefield every day, even physical for some of us. Every day we go out there, each one of us is fighting a spiritual battle. And listen, if you're not encountering a spiritual battle, if you don't have things happening, maybe it's time to reassess where you're at. Satan doesn't attack the ineffective. Come on. We're all fighting a battle. And church, if we would join united, and if we would join actively in working and engaging our community for Jesus, we're going to face attacks. We're going to face opposition. We're going to face temptations, letdowns, disappointments. But what do the people need to see? What do the unbelievers need to see? Do they need to see us fail? Or do they need to see us get back up and fight? What the people, what the community needs, what they need to see and experience is the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our lives. So church, I'm just going to ask you, would you bow your heads with me this morning? I have a question I want to ask every single person in here today. I'm going to get right to it. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you put your trust in your life, in your life, have you put it your trust in Him now and forever? All things of your life, have you laid it at His feet and do you trust Him with it? If the answer to that question is not a resounding yes, not a maybe yeah, some things, if it's not a resounding yes, this morning I encourage you to hear God's Spirit speaking to you. It's no mistake that you're here. I told you that as we started. He is inviting you to come to Him. He's inviting you to say, come take part of this grace and this mercy and this forgiveness of sins. And I have the greatest thing for you, my unconditional love and my promise of eternity. He's inviting you to come to Him today. And church, it's only through Jesus that we are forgiven of our sins. There is no other way to heaven except through Him. It's through Jesus that we gain the breastplate of righteousness. We don't have one if we don't have a relationship with Him. So whether this is in a new way, you've never said this before, you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or this is a fresh way, and you recognize that you've stepped away and you need to step back into His grace and His mercy. We've all been invited to respond to Him today. So if that's you, if you need to say it in a new way or fresh way, and you say, Jesus, I want You to be the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you just raise your hand so I can see it this morning? Amen. Anybody else? Now's your opportunity, church. You can say it any time, but we're doing it as a church now. Would you guys join with me in this prayer this morning? Dear Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins, that You have defeated death by raising on the third day. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I commit myself to You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we had one raise their hand this morning. So here's how I want to close. We're getting really close to lunch, but you got to stick with me just a little bit longer here, okay? I promise it's worth it. Today's where we start fresh. Maybe we've made choices that aren't so righteous this week. Maybe we found ourselves having thoughts that we shouldn't have had. Listen, today's the day. Today's the day that we step before God. We come to the altar and we say, God, please forgive me from this. Please take this from me. Forgive me. Help me to overcome this the next time. Would You help me to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Today's the day that we choose righteousness for every day to come. So church, I'm going to invite you as the worship team leads us in a song this morning as we get ready to close. I would implore you, flood this altar. There's nothing quite like running to the Lord Jesus for His forgiveness and for Him to help you. Run to this altar. Ask for forgiveness and receive His love and His grace. And make the commitment today to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And if there's somebody up here that you see, that you feel so called to come pray with them and for them. Amen? Amen. Church, let's worship this morning.